Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the 23 Personnel Podcast, the first post-game instant reaction episode of the season. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody.
You'll have to excuse some of the audio inequality here. I'm at home with the super nice mic and the recorder, and I've got the second nice mic pointed at my cell phone that's on speakerphone to capture Michael. So
it's gonna I'm gonna sound really great.
Oh, it's gonna be jank. Well, you're gonna sound jank.
Well, that's about right. That's about what I deserve, I think.
So we are minutes after the final whistle of the first game. Ole Miss defeating Texas Tech 47-27. I don't even know where to begin besides that was a disaster.
It was on several levels. I think one place I would begin is the special teams just at the first half, at least in the first quarter, just really kind of railroading us as far as short kicks or allowing a kickoff return for a touchdown, just kind of not letting Tech get their feet under them at all. And then, of course, the injury bug, which we hope Carter's okay, but he's I think Keith reported in our – reported. I'll give it to him. But Keith said in our Slack chat right before we started recording that McLean is out with an ankle injury, definitely out for the week, so Bowman and Duffy will be seeing – all the reps this week, I believe, for Lamar.
Yeah, but, you can't catch a break because it seems like, you know, we start Carter and everybody's like, well, I mean, that's not the super exciting start. It's not Duffy, but we'll just deal with it. It's not a true freshman. And he gets 7 pass attempts before he rolls his ankle. Or it actually looked really nasty. And it looked more of like a knee injury than an ankle injury. When they did the replay, but
oh really? Well, I never watched those replays. Those always make me I can't stomach them.
Well, so when it first happened and I saw him let go of the ball during the tackle, I was like, that's usually not a good sign. And then he got up. I was like, oh well, he's I guess not that bad. And then he went back down. I was like, crap. And then that's when they started showing the replay. I was like, oh wow, looked like they just destroyed his knee, and it like his leg kind of flopped over, which is why I thought it was his knee. But I guess it's better that it's an ankle, not his knee, because if it was knee, it looked awful.
Right. I think if we had to pick one or the other, it would have to be the ankle would be the choice.
Yeah. So let's get into the game. I don't really know where to point besides you had an absolute disastrous first quarter. And you just never recovered. The first kick of the game, it was relatively short, and they had a good return on it. And then on the second play of the game, they end up hitting a long pass for a touchdown where your defensive back fell. And then you get the ball. You have a kind of a methodical drive. You score. And then the kickoff, they returned that for a touchdown. So it's like you just... I mean, they scored 2 touchdowns on 2 offensive plays, or when they hit, by the time they had run 2 offensive plays, and it was just like you got down pretty quick, and you just it built a little bit. I mean, obviously that's not a 17 point lead, but at the end of the first, it was 24-7. You're down 17. I mean, you won the second quarter 10-6. You won the third quarter 10-7. Fourth quarter at that point it was kind of out of hand. Then they won 10-0, but I mean there were times in the game where you'd get it within 10 with the ball. Like, okay, even if we kick a field goal here, we're within 1 touchdown. Or, you know, if we if we score a touchdown, it's one possession, you know, and it just, you never got close.
No, it kept slipping away from you. You had some good chances here and there. The penalty bug would bite. The good old days, you know, Collins getting that penalty when we would have had, a first and goal at the
two-yard
line maybe. That really hurts.
Yep, I
think it was kind of a BS penalty because that ref didn't throw his flag out till way after Collins was walking off. But you've got to be smart in that situation. You've drawn the penalty from the refs in your favor. You've got to walk away. But that really hurt.
Yeah, so let's talk about penalties for a second because it was something that it reared its ugly head again. I mean, it's something that you've dealt with for several years. You had three targeting penalties called against you. Two of them were upheld, so you lost two players for the game. First player, I'm already blanking on it, but it happened early in the game. It was
Desmond Smith,
and then there was one called against Bonnie. That one was overturned. And then the third one, it was in the second half, so he'll miss the first half of the Lamar game, was upheld against Vontae Dorsey. Two of them were against sliding quarterbacks. It's like, guys, if he's sliding, I don't know why you're even going after him.
Oh, agree. I mean, you've got to – it seems like you can kind of see they were sort of leaving their feet before or right as he was entering his slide. I can give him some leeway there, but you've got to see it coming. It'll be a little bit smarter about it, but the fact that, you know, those penalties came through, those killed it.
There were a couple penalties that extended a drive where you had stopped Ole Miss, and then you committed a penalty on third down that gave him a first down. There was the one that you just talked about, Collins, at the goal line where you had a first down, first and goal at the two. That backed you up. You don't end up even scoring on that possession. You ended the day with six penalties for 81 yards, which is actually an improvement in most of the games. If you're looking at it for Texas Tech, Ole Miss had seven penalties for 50 yards, so theirs were more smaller penalities. You just had some really undisciplined moments, and like they were just big time penalties that really killed drives and momentums, just really hurt you.
Right. There's only a handful. I mean, I think the penalty that Coleman got on his pass interference, I mean, the guy caught the ball anyway, and they declined the penalty, but that's one of the few that I remember that it didn't really affect us negatively. It was already a bad situation, but most all the other ones, because I believe it was Bruffy that had a false start on third and four.
Yeah, he had a false start, and one thing about that was frustrating is, so Bum was in the game at this time. He was at the line. I guess they were calling, they were audibling into a new play, and it was just taking forever. And, you know, it just, the offensive lineman ended up flinching, but like Bowman's back there, like yelling for 15 seconds, trying to change the play. Like, dude, just get it done. Okay. He's a true freshman. I get this is his first game, but there was so much frustration with that first game. That it just...
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Baker Mayfield's first game at SMU, if it was this rough in terms of, like, it just didn't feel like he had a very good handle on it, on things. He just had some first game mistakes, and I would attribute the false start here to Bowman, obviously, because of how long he was taking to get into it. Keith actually mentioned in our Slack chat that there were times that Kingsbury was signaling in the play, and he was frustrated. He was screaming at him. If Bowman's going to be your quarterback going forward, he's really got to work on so many different things.
Right. I do think we should cut him some slack, because to compare him to Mayfield starting as a true freshman, you know, Mayfield did start on a road game at SMU, but he knew before the coin toss, or I don't know exactly when, but he knew that he was going to start. Whereas Bowman just took the bus ride or the plane ride, planning on backing up Carter and maybe getting in there here and there if Carter proved to be ineffective at some point. But
to the flip side of that, though, really quickly, Bowman's been here since January.
That is true.
All right, so let's.
Were you surprised to see him come out instead of Duffy?
A little bit. Well, when I was asking before the game, like who's warming up at the ones, we got the report that, kind of unsurprisingly, Carter was warming with the ones. Bowman was with the twos. I was like, well, that's not how that's supposed to be working. And then Duffy was with the threes. So when Bowman came in after Carter went down, I wasn't surprised there. I was surprised that he had moved up to second string. But let's go ahead and I guess talk about some of the stats really quickly. Not a terribly bad day pass. Well, total yards, no, not a bad day. Average per... I'm thinking this is per attempt, 5.8. It's awful. You threw one touchdown today. You were 33 of 56. I don't know I don't have a calculator right available. It's taking a second to get there. That completion rate is not all that stellar. It's not where you want it. Let's see.
It's 59%.
Just under 59%. Yeah, you need much better than that. Whereas Jordan Ta'amu from Ole Miss was 22 of 32, so that's 69% for 336 yards. So they had 10 more yards in it than you did. Their average per attempt was almost twice as high. They were almost 11 yards. You were just under 6. He threw two touchdowns. Rushing, this is where the script was flipped for me. I was not expecting, one, Ole Miss to have a 200-yard rusher averaging 13 yards a carry.
Yep.
That's like Samaje Perine.
It is, yeah. That was in – I remember that game. That felt just as bad. Or that kid from UTEP that ran all over us one year couple years ago.
You finished the game. You ran the ball 39 times to your 56 pass. So that's almost – I mean, that's almost exactly a 60-40 split.
Well, and at one point when the game wasn't so out of hand, Keith brought up in the Slack chat that I think it was 26-26. It was even.
Yeah, it was fairly even throughout the game. I think it just kind of opened up there at the end, which I'm not really sure why, because the Ole Miss defense, to their credit, picked up, was able to figure out how to stop some of the running plays. Early on in the game, Dalion Ward was averaging 6 and 7 yards a carry. He finished just over 5. But, you know, there towards the end, it was, you know, he'd get a couple yards and be stopped. They'd try to run a screen. They wouldn't get very far. And then running against a true freshman quarterback, blitzing against a true freshman quarterback, they were able to get Bowman out of, out of rhythm and force some early throws. So you couldn't like run, throw because they were stopping it and, you leave you in like third and long. And, of course, they would just blitz you, and against a true freshman quarterback, that wasn't really working. So you finished the day rushing for 164 yards. Again, not too terrible. Average of 4.2 yards a carry, two touchdowns. I thought you would have had much more success on the ground. Dalion Ward finished with 90 yards. Trey King with 31. Bowman had 16. McLean Carter had 13. I don't know, man. It just got out of hand. not really what you want to see on your first game.
No, and they just, you know, Ole Miss just about had three receivers over 100 yards. And
yeah, so they're three top receivers. They're NWO. DeMarcus Lodge.
I guess we can't make fun of it too much anymore.
DeMarcus Lodge had the most yards. He had 6 receptions for 96 yards, 16 yards per catch. A.J. Brown, who everyone was pretty afraid of, 7 receptions, 93 yards, 13 yards a catch. And then D.K. Metcalf, 4 receptions, 81 yards, 20 yards a catch. So.
Wow.
They had 2 other guys catch passes. They combined for 5 catches for 66 yards, whereas the 3 of them were about 270.
What would you say out of the 3 phases of, you know, offense, defense, special teams?
Special teams.
Which thing surprised you the most, though? I mean,
special teams. They were god awful.
They were going to be better?
No, you had certainly hoped they couldn't get worse, and somehow they did. Early on in the game, again, it's your first game. I think I pointed out of like the 4 special teams plays you had done, 3 of them were absolute like worst case scenario disasters. You had that short kick, then a long return. You had a kickoff return for a touchdown throughout the game. You couldn't figure out how to get shotgun to punt it very well. That's going to be his nickname because that's about all he can do is shoot a football. Or kick it into a trash can from the middle section of a stadium because that's obviously panning out for success in the game where he shanked several kicks. I mean, you didn't miss a field goal or an extra point. Props.
Right.
Every other aspect.
I mean, yeah, let's not underplay that. That's fantastic.
But
that is really great news to not have missed a field goal, including a 40-yarder.
Yeah. Oh, so the other thing, the early special teams disaster was your first kickoff return. Bowman catches it off balance, straddling the goal line.
Yes.
At the pylon. He's like, dude, if you didn't touch it, it would have been a touchback.
Yep.
He tries to regain his balance, returns it to like the 8 and gets destroyed.
That was tough.
Yeah. Luckily they were able to turn that drive into a touchdown. That was their first drive. They turned it into a touchdown, but it's like almost in spite of how awful that was. Your special teams, like if they're that bad, you're gonna lose more often than not, especially close games where you need all 3 phases to be working. Defense, I guess I was a little disappointed.
I was most disappointed in the defense. I mean, we're talking about a unit that we've been touting about this entire offseason, and they allowed 204 rush yards to a single rusher. They allowed 546 total yards, and like we just discussed, 3 of their receivers just about hit 100 yards apiece. None of them averaged less than 13 yards per catch. I mean, it was they were blowing wide open. I know they had some long runs. There was that 65-yard touchdown run. I think there was a 34-yard touchdown run. It was just really depressing to see them play so well, get some 3 and outs here and there. They forced a fumble. They had some tackles behind the line of scrimmage. I know they had 2 sacks at least. And then to just give up these big gashing plays that for touchdowns. Most of the time it seemed like it was for touchdown, not just a big gain. It was all the way to the end zone. I think I was most disappointed in them. The special teams seem to regain their seems like they got their biggest mess ups out of the way in the first quarter and then kind of got back into a little bit more solid footing and making those field goals. I just can't emphasize that enough. But I think the defense just they really hurt any chance of us getting back in here. I mean, the offense performed about as good as you could expect with a freshman quarterback thrown into a crazy situation on the second possession. So I'm going to give them some pass, but disappointed to see our guys give up as much as they did on the ground, especially to just one running back.
Yeah, so the defensive performance, I think, was a little disappointing. Where I think I give them a little more slack is because you played probably the best SEC offense, this group of receivers. That running back, I guess, is much better than advertised. The offensive line, I guess, we just weren't paying attention. So we just hope that, you know, we don't play as many good offenses as the Ole Miss Rebels.
Right. They're a solid squad. I don't want to take any away from them.
Right, because, I mean, yeah, we want to talk about how disappointing the game was for us. You were favored to win by 3, you lose by 20. That, I mean, obviously that's
stings.
That's obviously part on you, part on how good your opponent was. The first quarter disaster, you couldn't overcome that. I want to go another couple of key stats before we wrap it up. And then when we look forward, especially with the quarterback issue. Third downs, you were 8 of 19, so you were under 50% there. That needs to be better. 0 for 3 on fourth down.
There was one of those fourth downs that Vasher was clearly held. And there was no PI, so...
I'll take
that one with the slight grain of salt. And there was another one. There was a fourth down where we did get a PI call, and it was so egregious that the announcer said that Webster, the guy who was playing defense on that particular play, said Webster was holding him like a grudge.
That's good. Just really quick, I am one to blame the refs, and I don't like that's not something. Like I want to like hang my hat on, but I was mistakenly blaming the SEC refs because I was pretty sure non-conference games are officiated by the visiting team, which Ole Miss was, but this wasn't actually an ACC squad. But I think I was a little vindicated when Keith actually shared an article where this officiating crew has actually been suspended before for how badly they've done in games.
I missed that.
So the targeting, the missed holds on the line, the offensive, the pass interference penalties that were seemed unevenly called. There was one play early where I think Wesley caught a ball. He was running down the sideline. He stepped out of bounds. The referee's blowing the whistle, like he's laying on the whistle several seconds, waving his hands, and then an Ole Miss DB just like blows Wesley up, like right in front of the ref that's blowing the whistle,
yeah.
And nothing.
I remember that. No, nothing. That was about at the 5 or 10 yard line. That was really frustrating.
It's like, dude, if you're gonna call like late hit, like that's it.
That's a hit. Yeah, that's a.
Like, that's you a, know how long you were blowing the whistle.
Yeah. Sort of penalty.
So you do win the turnover battle, 1-0. You were able to hang on to the ball. You forced one fumble. Again, even with Ole Miss trying to burn clock, and early on when you were running the ball, and then when you're trying to get to catch up. Time of possession, 36-25 for Texas Tech, 36-25 to 23-35. You held the ball for 13 more minutes.
Yep. And had 31 first downs as opposed to Ole Miss having 22. I mean, they got the ball, they moved it quick and scored quickly. And Tech did a good job of trying to control the clock and had a really great drive in the third quarter, or a couple of really great drives, but just unable to make it in the end zone.
Ole Miss.
They were 5 for 7 on scoring in the red zone, but I think a couple of those were field goals, so that's not a super great stat. But it's better than I think it's better than what we come to expect from last year. Let me do some quick math. It's 70%, and I think last year we were in the 60s, so that's a slight improvement.
Which you'll need going forward.
Oh yes.
So Ole Miss ran 60 total plays, and you ran 95.
Wow.
And you were down 20 points.
And scored. And they scored
much more efficient with their yards. Yeah, much more efficient. They scored more often than you did. Okay, let's talk about Carter for a second before we wrap it up. We still haven't heard. Obviously, it's still really early. We're recording Saturday afternoon. Haven't heard the prognosis for Carter's injury. If he's not going to be able to make it back next week, I don't think it's as big of a deal. You've got Lamar. You've got time to prep. You know, either if Bowman's going to start or Duffy, who's going to roll out there? If it's a long-term injury, with the quarterback injury possibly being long-term and what you've seen today, Michael, how are you feeling about the season? Are you going to start adjusting your win-loss record?
Well, I was tempted to start adjusting it even before Carter went down, just how poorly the special teams play was going and allowing a DB falling down on the second play of the game to allow a touchdown. I mean, it was just kind of doom and gloom from the start. We've talked about it all year that the quarterback play was going to be the biggest question mark. Looks like it still is going to be. I think I would start adjusting my win-loss records as we go along. I mean, I'm still going to predict. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict a win against Lamar next week still. But beyond
statement
that,
of bold proclamation right
bold,
there.
Yeah. Yeah, just write that down, everybody. Freezing cold takes.
Big book it.
But no, I think I was leaning towards adjusting it anyway, independent of the quarterback situation, and I'm definitely going to now as the season goes. There's no way I can see myself confidently predicting the 6 wins that I currently have left on this, in these 11 games.
Right. So I was going to say, obviously, we're going to have to adjust it because I think we both picked a win this weekend.
Yes, we did.
Leaving a 6-6 possible from our current record. If this team, if what we saw today is what we can expect, which is kind of you have no idea if what we saw today is going to be the team that we're going to get the rest of the year or not. If we get this team more regular, like if this is what we can expect, I think you're looking at a 3 or 4 win team, maybe.
That's fair. I might push 4 or 5, but.
Because if you look at, you've got Lamar, go ahead and chalk that up. Kansas probably win. You don't know what you're going to get in Baylor yet.
Nope.
You haven't proved you can beat an Iowa State, Kansas State. You may reach up and surprise somebody, like have an off day or get an opponent having an off day for like Oklahoma, Texas, or Oklahoma State. West Virginia is handling business right now against Tennessee. So, I mean, for the far too early, the sky is falling. I think if something isn't fixed, this could be really, really ugly.
It could get that way. We'll have to, I mean, and even next week, no matter what happens, it's, if Bowman plays lights out, it's we're going to chalk it up. Well, you know, this is an FCS team that won 2 games last year. Let's not get too crazy. So it's just going to be a big what if for the remainder of the year. I'm not looking forward to it, to be honest with you. I felt a little bit more confident going into it than I probably should have.
But I was believing this morning.
This morning seems like it was such a long time ago.
Oh, it was so miserable. All right, so same thing with you. If Bowman starts next week and he does really well, you're like, okay, well, it's his second week. He knew he was starting, and it's an FCS. I don't know how much you can pull from that. You really needed to get this Ole Miss win if you're going to be winning more than 6 games this season, which I think is 6-6 or worse. We're probably looking at a new coaching staff. 7-5, I think, is where you start to feel comfortable that a contract would be extended. You haven't been greater than 500 in conference play in a long time, which means you go 4-5, meaning you would need all 3 wins in non-conference to reach 7 wins if you don't win 5 or more conference games. which you would expect to win five more conference games if you could handle out of conference. So, yeah, next week I think you're probably fine for a win. It gets interesting then when Houston comes into Lubbock. If after that Houston game you're at 1-2, I would be buckling up for the coaching carousel to take a stop in Lubbock, Texas.
I think you're right. I don't look forward to it, but that is almost a certainty at this point. That's the word I was looking for.
Yep. So, good thing for everybody else, you can, you know, throw out your takes, your notes, whatever, be like, I never said that. Michael and I are on record. You know,
we are on record, yeah.
After game 12, and they're like 10-2, you're like, gosh, you guys were idiots. You were so so reactionary. That's kind of the point of these, but you just call us idiots. You can, I mean, if you're listening at that point, thanks for hanging with us through all of it. We're going to try not to be so negative, but, you know, we're obviously going for the raw emotions of post-game reactions. Next week, we're going to hit you with, obviously, the Lamar preview and then our post-game reaction after that game. You know, we're knock on wood, going for, you know, a clean slate, a win, no injuries, no dumb penalties. Maybe the special teams have kind of cleaned up a little bit.
Michael, yeah, maybe just Sean Johnson will be back. You know, that'd be a couple of things to look forward to.
Yeah. Do you have any final parting shots before we hit the rest of our Saturday?
No, I just would like to call a timeout in the first half before a kicker makes a kick attempt, only to kneel because we don't have any timeouts. So I just wanted to do that before we wrapped up. So timeout and wait for it. Okay, now I'm kneeling the ball. All right, that's it.
All right, so chalk it up to poor clock management. For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for hanging with us on a miserable start to the 2018 football season with the 23 Personnel Podcast.